Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To your glory,
mm-hmm.
Majesty,
yep.
Dominion and power.
Amen.
Forever. Hallelujah.
Indeed.
Glory, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
In the strong name of our collective faith.
Not so fast.
Amen.
Not amen. This is Wretched Radio. That was the close of the closing prayer of the Biden inauguration. Another reminder, you are a foreign missionary. You didn't pack up and leave. You didn't have to get any shots. Your country changed right underneath your feet. We used to pray a little differently, collectively. Now we pray in the collective name of our faith, which absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. You pray in the collective name of your faith. Your faith isn't hearing anything. Your faith doesn't respond. Your faith is what you believe. That little picadillo aside, this is another reminder that you and I, we're not living in a pagan world. We're living in a remixed world. It seems that if you look just a little bit under the hood of the collective faiths of America, most people do have a faith. It's no longer professing Christianity, but it is nevertheless a faith. If you take a look at almost any worldview, philosophical, political, social, and certainly religious, you will notice that they almost all have similar components. There is almost always a creation story. There is a fall explanation. There is some form of redemption involved. There's typically some sort of apocalyptic day, a day of judgment and reckoning, and some sort of nirvana that we are supposed to arrive at where we just all live happily ever after, forever. Almost every worldview possesses that. And we are seeing that right now in what used to be America. It's just different now. But I'm not so sure it's entirely pagan. I would suggest to you, it's a remixed world. We are using elements of religion combined with whatever it is that people are getting their heads filled with at university to concoct a syncretistic glop, a religious stew that works for us. It is no longer seeking any sort of institutions. People are intuiting what they should be believing. They're not entirely religion-free. It's just a new kind of religion. When you take a look at what is troubling you today, the worldviews that are getting up your nose, examine how religious they are. Let's start with social justice or Marxism, because social justice, it has no doubt about it, major elements of Marxism in it. There's just no debating it. I think the emperor has been revealed to have no clothes on social justice. It is still sort of religious. Now, I'm not talking about the social justice that's invading the church, although it's exactly the same as what the world is promoting. For the most part, consider Marxism. Karl Marx recognized that there are indeed elements of reality that we need to make sense of. We look around, we observe, and we do indeed intuit, you know, it seems that this needs to be explained. This needs to be there. So Karl Marx, rather than bowing to his creator, he made matter the creator. So God is matter, if you will, self-existent stuff. He had an explanation for what is ruling the place, and basically, way more philosophically and complicatedly, matter is stuff. What was the fall that we experienced, according to Karl Marx? The invention of private property. No kidding. Private property has ruined everything for Karl Marx. If there were not private property, you wouldn't have these people amassing land, amassing power, and people wouldn't be oppressed, which, by the way, explains what sin is. Sin is somebody having more than somebody else. Entirely not biblical. Nevertheless, that is how he made sense of the world. What was Judgment Day for Karl Marx? Revolution. The day when these oppressors, when the powerful bourgeoisie have their day in social court, where the proletariat knock them off of their ladders and receive a fair amount of their stuff. And so heaven for the Marxist is equality. Everything is just equal. Supposedly, we've never seen this worldview even come close to working. By the way, it can't work. Marxism can't work. It's not that it's just a bad idea and doesn't work. Anything that does not align with biblical principles, it can't, because it wars against the way that God has designed the universe to operate. Typically, when we think about the laws of nature, if you will, we think gravity, we think water is wet. There's just certain things that are constants. It's the law of nature. There's also laws when it comes to the operation of the planet socially, familially, educationally, anything apparently that's an adverb. We operate in God's design system, and when it is not in alignment with it, even as an unbeliever or as a believer, it can't work. And so it is with Marxism. The Bible makes it really clear. God is perfectly fine with different classes, but to balance that out, to make sure that people who have more than others do not oppress, he rails about imbalanced scales repeatedly. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like people being cheated, lied to, oppressed, if you will. And so that balance is stabilized by God recognizing there's always going to be different levels in society. There's different giftings, and God is clearly okay with that, otherwise it wouldn't exist. But to make sure that people don't take advantage of those who don't have the mental capacity, the social media skills, the finances, the heritage and legacy, the educational opportunities, hey, don't cheat them. And desire their best. Work to help them to get up where you are. That's God's system. Karl Marx's system is, nope, we are just going to raise the whole shebang and force it to happen. It can't work, and it won't work, and it hasn't worked. But it does have religious components, doesn't it? It will always tell a narrative tale of creation, fall, judgment, redemption, eternity. The Green Movement, very, very similar. We were big banged here. The problem, the big sin, is pollution, that we people are making a hash of the planet. And so there is a judgment day for that. You need to be fined. You need to be shut down. You need to stop doing what you are doing to wreck the planet. You can't keep taking stuff without giving back. I was just on a website. I can't remember which one it was, not that that's uncommon, and it was to purchase something, and then underneath in the description where you were searching for what you wanted to buy, it gave you options like what color do you want, how much do you want to spend, but then it asked, do you want something that was made sustainably, or do you want to give back to the planet? Where you buy a tree. So you're going to buy a candlestick. Well, then you're going to plant a tree in the Amazon. What is that all about? Well, that's how you redeem yourself. That's how you pay for your sins. When will we reach nirvana? When we terrible people don't have so many of us on the planet, and all of the animals and all the critters flourish, and a tree never gets cut down. It's a religious story, and there is a deeper component that motivates all of those things. They're like a blind knife that determines the time in the shed twice a day. They are longing for something. I know there's got to be an explanation. Where did we come from? Hear it? What am I doing here? What do I do with my guilty conscience? Now, remember, their conscience, it's informed, of course, by God. It's written on their hearts, but it is also written on their hearts now by society. Don't pollute. Don't have more stuff than anybody else. Don't be fill in the blank. And so they've got this sense of morality, right, wrong, indifferent, and they know that they haven't measured up to their own standards or the standards that just continue to remind them you're failing. How do I get redeemed? They're looking for it. 50% of this country claims to be kind of syncretistic and remixed. Little dab of this, a little bit of that. But they all have the same component of longing to figure out, why is this place the way that it is? What do I do about my sins? And what's going to happen to me when I die? And that means, as we watch ridiculous prayers taking place,
to your glory,
oh, in the name of our collective faiths, there's hope. And the Christian narrative is the only true story. And that means if you and I will have the courage to proclaim it, God's sheep will hear the voice of Jesus Christ and they will come running. I don't think we're living in a pagan world. We're living in a confused world. And the only thing that will bring clarity to them is the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
It's another day, and of course, another Wretched Radio. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We certainly do appreciate each and every day that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And hey, maybe you want to keep up to date with everything that's happening at Wretched. We really want you to keep up to date and know all of the goings on here at Wretched Radio. And you can do that by signing up for the Wretched newsletter. Every month we send out a newsletter, and it covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date on all the things new here at Wretched. And you're not only going to receive those updates about what's going on here at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians are facing today. It's the Wretched newsletter. It comes out every month directly to your email inbox. All you have to do to sign up is head on over to wretched.org/newsletter. It really is that simple. wretched.org/newsletter. And hey, while you're at our website, make sure you check out our donate page and consider becoming a gospel partner, because without you, there is no Wretched. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
So what do selfie sticks, John Fabares, and snacks all have in common? Simple. They're all necessities on your next road trip. The road trip to truth. Obviously. I mean, who takes a road trip without John Fabares? You never will again after you watch Wretched's newest resource, Road Trip to Truth. Join John as he sets out on a journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, but you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. As Tim Challies put it, far too many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. Road Trip to Truth is unashamedly and effectively dealing with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith. Just head on over to roadtriptotruth.org and get stocked up with everything you need for your next road trip. Well, everything except the selfie sticks and snacks. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Actually, I prefer Mr. Friel. This is Wretched Radio, plebeians. Welcome to the program where you get to learn all kinds of brilliant things. Because you're going to jump in pretty soon on me. I'm just dying over here. Okay. Jump in pretty quick.
Yeah. Why are you talking like that, Don?
Oh, am I talking differently than I usually am?
Just a little.
Oh, well, that's so funny. I was trying really hard not to be smug, but I told you so. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I know I was thinking it. I just didn't mean for it to come out of my mouth. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, and I told you so. Okay, maybe not a big one, but nevertheless, I'm going to claim it anyway. Isn't that what we do in so many quarters of evangelical Christianity anyway? There's a new book from Tara Isabella Burton. Came out the fall of last year. Strange Rites, New Religions for a Godless World. She claims that 50% of this country is remixed. They're not Christian entirely. They're not pagan completely. It's a little bit of it. It's syncretism. It's the very thing that the Bible warns us of because our hearts are prone to cobble together our own religion. This is what idols are made of. Our imaginations. We carve a piece of wood. That'll do. Because we create a god probably in our own image. We create a deity that works for us. And she claims that's basically our culture. And she explains how we got here. And I'm going to do my best to not be smug. Though they are drifting away from the Judeo-Christian roots, they are still seeking what religion offers. And she explains why it is that they are cobbling together whatever it is that pleases them. A number of forces have combined to bring about and shape remixed culture. And strangely enough, one of the most important is Harry Potter. I told you those books were bad. I knew the kids shouldn't be reading the Harry Potter books. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I'm sorry.
You said it. You did.
I said I wouldn't be smug about this. It's an interesting take on the impact of Harry Potter. And it goes a little bit deeper than the pagan and the witchcraft stuff that was clearly glamorized in Harry Potter. Because remember, when it comes to the dark side, there's the dark side and there's the dark side. There's not shades. Like, well, Harry Potter's a good pagan witch. No, it just... witchcraft is witchcraft. There ain't a good kind and a bad kind. You're either Furum or a Ginnum. But her take on it goes a lot deeper than that. Consider what people are trying to figure out. What is every system groping for? They need a narrative that explains the way they perceive reality and to fulfill the longings of the human heart, which includes cleansing their conscience. So they're drifting away from Judeo-Christian roots, but they're still seeking what religion offers. Meaning, why is the world the way that it is? Poipus, shaping life according to that meaning. We human beings, we are wired by God to be glorifying Him. And if we are not doing that, we're miserable. And so the world gropes, seeking to figure out a way. How can I feel more satisfied and fulfilled? I'm miserable doing this. It's a dead end. I keep grasping and getting, and then I need to grasp more, and I get it, and then I need to grasp more, and I get it, and I'm never content. And they never will be. They can't be, because the way the world operates is human beings, God's image bearers, are to be glorifying Him. And when we're not, we're going to be miserable. Period. That is the way that it works. And they're cobbling together systems, sort of religious, in fact, I would say very religious, because even though Christianity is indeed a religion, it is. When people are religious, that's not Christian, because we're the grace religion. A religious system structures, explanations, rituals to make sense of the world and make me feel better about my place in it. But it does not help you to get into a right relationship with God. So the world is seeking purpose. They're seeking meaning and an explanation. Community. Joining in with others to feel that purpose. To say, hey, you know what? I'm a part of something here. I want to be with others. Where does that come from? not everybody can be a man on a hill just sitting all by himself. Even that fellow thinks it sure would be nice to have some company on occasion. Why? Answer Trinity. The Trinity explains why it is that you and I were individuals with individual thoughts, longings, desires, guilt, and yet we desire to be together. Where does that come from? The Trinity. God, three distinct persons, but one. Three distinct persons. There's your individualism, but living in community, perfect community as one. That's why you and I feel that tussle. A religious system that does not address both of those with equal balance soon becomes a system that will become very detached, very individualistic and selfish, or it will tell you to deny yourself, just become a part of the group, blend in, become just you're like a drop that goes into the bucket. No, Christianity says you're a drop and you're in the bucket. And that's what helps us to keep balance. But every religious system is trying to figure that out. Rather than creating new religions, they're actually blending together elements of many others. And again, she claims it could be 50% of the country that is feeling that way. They are cobbling together their own syncretistic system. And one of the reasons is because of Harry Potter. Now, believe me when I tell you, I'm not bringing this up just to be smug or anything, but it does help us to be illuminated as to what people are looking for and then how we can go about the business of proclaiming the good news of the gospel to them without falling into a ditch, by the way. So she says one of the forces that have brought the country to this place is Harry Potter. Please note this, whether it's Harry Potter or anything else, the only reason people are trying to fill that hole is because the church has left one. Back to the article. The Remixed came of age just as Harry Potter was achieving its ascendancy. As they read the novels and watched the films, they went online to discuss and remix them. Get together to talk about the object of their affection. Is there anything in the Christian religion that provides that? The church. The books made such a deep impact, not just because people enjoyed the stories, but because they enjoyed the participatory culture they fostered. Why weren't they feeling fulfilled in the church? I think it's because we have not only downplayed the benefits of the church, but we've also turned church so often into mere amusement facilities. Just come, be entertained, get your life lesson, be on your way. It's the thing you do on Sunday morning, but that's the end of the story. And isn't it interesting that people who loved Harry Potter and wanted to spend more time with other Harry Potterites, they joined communities. They committed to online conversations. They wanted to be a part of something, even in a more formal manner. Isn't it interesting? At the same time, we are downplaying church membership while people are actually longing for it because they do. Why? Because that is the way we are designed and that's the way we're made to operate. Back to, this is Challey's review of this book. They enjoyed the participatory culture that they fostered together. Through it, all people came to expect more from what they consumed, so that stories were no longer meant to just entertain or teach, but to serve. They wanted a center to their life, and so they chose Harry Potter and all of the online communities and getting together for book readings. That's what church is. That is the God is supposed to be, oh, this hurts, Harry Potter in people's lives. And isn't it funny that at the same time we saw this trend with Harry Potter, the church was retreating from the very things that people were seeking? That's the problem with being pragmatic. Sometimes you biff it with your prognostications. It's impossible to understand remixed spirituality without understanding the way that internet culture and fan culture in particular primed us to expect, even demand, narratives, practices, and communities that we found personally meaningful. And that has been the trend, the upward trend in our culture to create 50% of our society that believes in remixed religion. They're finding other ways to replace what they need. Now, here we are, the truth tellers that can check each one of those boxes. And we can do that, but it must be done carefully. We don't want to make this mistake again. All of these things, community, center, having a purpose, being able to explain the way the world operates, having something that you're a part of that's bigger than you, if we're not careful, we'll present those fruits of the gospel as the gospel itself. Hey, you've been trying Harry Potter. No, no, try Jesus, because you'll have a better community, bigger purpose, and you'll deal with all the other stuff. Huh? Come to the gospel. No, we want people to come to Jesus because he's good. So we use these benefits of the gospel that are provided in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ so that they don't just love Christianity or the gospel, so that they love Jesus and they seek him because of who he is, not simply because of all of the benefits that he provides. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. President Joe Biden's social media team raised eyebrows Wednesday afternoon when it temporarily changed the Twitter title for the U.S. Ambassador to Israel to read U.S. Ambassador to Israel, the West Bank and Gaza, before changing it back shortly thereafter. The additions of West Bank and Gaza is significant because by separating those regions from Israel, it would seem to indicate that the Biden administration is considering a major policy shift toward the Jewish state that would revert back to a limited recognition of Israeli sovereignty. While President Trump's administration recognized Israel's rightful ownership over both West Bank and Gaza, the previous administration of Barack Obama and Joe Biden did not. President Trump thoroughly cultivated and bolstered the alliance between the U.S. and Israel during his term. In 2018, Trump officially moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. A year later, he publicly acknowledged the Golan Heights as territory belonging to Israel. And throughout 2020, Trump's team negotiated multiple peace treaties between Israel and many of its previously hostile neighbors. The Biden administration has not yet offered specifics about its diplomatic intent with the Jewish nation. Speaking of the Biden administration, there has been a change now at the White House website on their contact form, which now requires visitors to select their preferred pronoun before they can submit a comment or question. GLAAD, which is an LGBT advocacy group, announced the change to the White House contact form on its Twitter account on Wednesday at 2:26 p.m. Eastern Time, less than 3 hours after Joe Biden was sworn in to office. The organization proudly proclaimed that the contact form now asks for your pronoun. In addition to the traditional she or her or he and him, visitors to the White House website also have the option to choose from they or them, other, or prefer not to share. The drop-down menu does not include the pronoun ze and zer as an option. I don't even know what that means. The Wayback Machine, an internet archiving tool, captured a snapshot of the White House contact form from earlier in the day on Wednesday. The snapshot, which was taken before Biden assumed presidency, reflects the White House contact form used during the Trump administration. That form looked almost identical to the form used by the Biden administration, with the exception of the pronoun section and a slightly different cosmetic appearance. Additionally, the tabs above the White House contact form containing links to the previous administration's policies on the economy, national security, the budget, and immigration have been removed and have yet to be replaced with links containing information about the new administration's policies on those issues. The Biden presidential campaign vowed to stand with the LGBTQ plus community to ensure America finally lives up to the promise on which it was founded, equality for all. Biden has made the passage of the Equality Act, which is legislation that would expand federal civil rights law to include protections for LGBT people. He's made that a priority for his first 100 days of his administration. And I'm afraid that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was Bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Be totally honest, Jimmy. How did I do? This is Wretched Radio. Give me a grade. Sensei, how did I do with not being smug?
Well, I think you did fine. I mean, you didn't want to say I told you so, but...
Well, I thought it was important.
Right.
Because I did tell you so. And so I just... Normally, I wouldn't say I told you so. But in this instance, I really needed to tell you that.
Yeah, you had to get that across.
They are they who justify themselves. Isn't it amazing how you can hear somebody talk in a certain way or violate a particular rule or commandment, and you know it. You just see it. Oh, come on. But when you do it, well, see, no, you don't understand. Because circumstance, no, it's because of self. We are such bad judges on both accounts, whether for others or for ourselves. You, I judge harshly. Myself, with great laxity. I never find myself as a blind judge.
Well, and you know, that's such a harsh word. Judging?
Which,
we've talked about it before, but I like to call it the gift of discernment.
I like to call it helping people who are ignorant. They just don't know what I know, you see. Yeah. And if they, that's why I need to tell them. And that's why you and I, we're like the guy represented in that commercial. I don't even know what they're selling. It's the commercial series is the guy who's teaching you to not become like your parents.
Oh, yeah. That's, is that Progressive?
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I'm too amused by the commercials. And by the way, because I do have the gift of hyper discernment, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, and they're not actually really mocking. It's more just like a playful observation of what people do as they get older and become parents and then grandparents. I'm hoping it's just playful because it sure is funny that when you're older, you feel the need to comment. You're in the big department store, the big home goods store. What do you call the Home Depot? I'm trying not to give them a plug because I think we're supposed to be boycotting them. I can't keep track of it. Nevertheless, you see somebody and it's like, well, you know, really, which screwdriver is better? And that one is 40 cents. We just feel the need to do that with others. As I stand there staring at a wall of different screws going, I wonder if there's anybody around here in an orange vest who can help me with this thing. Your problem. I got you. Me. Because I love me. And my judgment of myself, I have great grace for me. You, not so much. That is our propensity. Is it not? From a review by Tim Challies of a book called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. Please bear with this descriptor of social justice. Not because we want to talk about social justice again, but there is something to be learned about what people seek as they go about the desire to try to make the world an equal place. There is always a religious explanation behind worldviews. I don't know that you can concoct one that doesn't have the creation, fall, redemption, and perfection elements to it. And we really would do well to figure out why that is. Because obviously we know that that is the reality of the world. We were created. There was a fall. There is a problem called sin. There is a way to deal with it. And there is ultimately redemption and a glorification, a perfection state. That's the true story. All of the other narratives are grasping. They're just trying to patch the holes that they sense are the way things really are. And so anytime you see a story that maybe has, oh, that's got a religious component, it's because they're grasping, they're trying, but they don't want Jesus. If they've been told about Jesus, they reject Jesus because they want Marxism or whatever the social theory is, or whatever the community system is, or the Harry Potter Club, whatever it is, they don't want Jesus, but they still want satisfaction to figure out how to live in this fallen world. And we see that in hero stories, by the way. How many hero stories have been made? Especially lately, superhero stories. Do we make anything else, by the way? Is it just nothing but the Gumby stretchy guy, somebody who can turn into ice? Everything, the commercials that I see for movies, all superhero stuff. Why? There's something about us that says we want a hero. And I'm not trying to turn into the Gospel Coalition here and start interpreting movies, but it is a reasonable observation. And the reason that so many people fall into the ditch of reviewing movies to go see the theme is because there is a theme there. Unfortunately, people these days use it to go, now that's like Christianity. Wrong. These are people who are fallen. whose brains aren't working right, who are making a hash of figuring it out. And we see little glimmers of that. That's how we should see these hero stories in movies, not to review them, to find, see, that's like Jesus and that's like God and he's working on that. No, what we see are broken, fallen people who know that the world is designed a certain way and they've got to try to figure it out. They're totally wrong in how they do it. Nevertheless, their broken attempts reflect the fact that every single human being is made by the same creator and has the same desires to figure stuff out. And here we sit with the truth. And we're getting annoyed. And we're getting frustrated with the world. Angry. We hear the ridiculous collective prayer offered in the name of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. By the way, listen to all the biblical allusions here.
To your glory, majesty.
Okay, this is Christian language. Buddhists don't talk like this.
Dominion and power.
That's a benediction. That's Paul's benediction.
Forever. Hallelujah.
That's a Christian word.
Glory, hallelujah.
And then this.
In the strong name of our collective faith.
What a hash.
Amen.
Not a chance, sir. We get mad at people. He's trying to figure out, whoever this fellow is who clearly does not understand Jesus Christ, you can't pray that and believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Hey, come on, man. That's like a 20-second clip. You're telling me you know all of that? Yep, I do. Because an individual who understands that there is salvation in no other name doesn't pray in the name of our collective faiths. This guy's an ecumenist to the extreme. It's all right. That is Christians my path. Why do we have so many paths groping, trying to figure it out? It's because that's the way people are made. And we know the truth. And right now, maybe, we're getting a little bit testy with the world. And things like this collective faith prayer makes you mad. And I think that there's an element of righteous indignation, certainly. Honestly, I'm trying not to react to that in an annoyed fashion. But to me, this is just another demonstration. Are we at the point where we actually want the world to stop praying publicly? At least, and giving some sort of hat tip to Jesus or being a Christian minister or praying in the name of, well, virtually anything, which, by the way, that's another Christian thing. Hey, Muslims do not pray in the name of Allah. There's a reason we pray in the name of something. It is because the Bible teaches us that we pray in the name of Jesus, meaning that our prayers are in alignment with him, not tacked on as a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo mystical. God's going to just be like a magic lantern that you can rub by saying these words. He's going to answer your prayers for you. No, because the Bible explains it. I think I want people to stop now. We'd like Christmas back. You don't like the name of, no, you hate the name of Christ. Christmas has it in there. We'll take it. World, enjoy winter solstice celebration. World, if you want to set up idols, call them Larry and bow down and pray to them. Knock yourself out. But please, leave Jesus out of this in any way, shape, or form. We actually, in my estimation, I know this is a conceit to the fact that our country is no longer what it was, but can we now concede that it is no longer what it was? I don't want people praying like this, close to Christianity, but not mixed in, blending, and giving a hat tip to all the other collective faiths. Stop. Just stop. Quite honestly, this is my opinion. Your mileage may vary. If people didn't open up Senate prayers and House prayers and local meeting prayers, I'm okay with that. Because usually they're a hash anyway. Second of all, they're led by people who are typically a theological mess. And even when they're not, is it really right to expect people to pray to Jesus Christ when they don't believe in him? I mean, how do you feel when you hear in the name of our collective faith, stop it? Okay, well, I want to be thoughtful here. Pagans probably feel the same way when they hear in the name of Jesus. And frankly, they have nothing to do with him at this point. And I don't know why we should be even forcing them to be thinking that somehow they're a part of it. This is our world. And I don't want to get angry at them. Because if you really watch them, they're still trying in a blind sense to figure out the big stuff. So maybe, just maybe, an encouragement for all of us, myself at the front of the line, to stop getting ticked at these people and to start telling them the true story of creation, the fall, sin, redemption, and perfection, because we're the only ones who know it. This is Wretched Radio. Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month, and you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Finding money in your pocket that you didn't even know you had. Sleeping for the first time on a new set of sheets. When that cop that's driving behind you changes lanes and goes around. And becoming a gospel partner. Those are just some of the best feelings in the world. And you can experience one of them right now. Supporting Wretched means helping to spread the gospel, equipping the saints, and strengthening the local church. Every penny you give is carefully and gratefully stewarded away. As a matter of fact, 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Not only will you help to keep Wretched on the air, but it will feel better than walking out of work on a Friday afternoon. If you are a gospel partner already, then we are eternally grateful for you. Visit wretched.org/donate right now to find out how you can become a gospel partner. That's wretched.org/donate.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So, Jimmy, if you wouldn't interrupt me this time, I'd like to actually get to the thing that I was going to get to.
Okay, I won't interrupt.
You just did. This is Wretched Radio. This was a review of a book that is observing that half of our country is remixed. A blend of gobbledygook. Everybody's talked about this. It's so observable. This is Heinz 57 religion. This is the, what's the name of the ice cream place? They used to have a gazillion flavors. Are they still in business?
Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins. How many flavors did they have?
32. Was it 32?
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I like this. I'll take a scoop of that. It's like the old country buffet religion.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? I like the biscuits, light on the gravy, if you'd be so kind, and lots of grits. Do you have butter for the grits? I don't like gravy on my grits. I do like a lot of butter on my grits and salt. I'll take that. And that canned fruit, I really love those soft, squishy green grapes that actually could be buried in the ground and survive me for 1,000 years. That's what I'd like. That's what people do with religion. They put it together to please themselves, not to come in alignment with reality or the truth, but they do framework all of these systems based on the same similar. No, they're just the same. They're not similar. They're the same elements. Creation. Where did I come from? Why am I here? How do I deal with my failures, my sins, my shortcomings, my boo-boos, my biffs, whatever they call them? They're all trying to deal with it. And then how do we get this place to be perfection? Social justice has that same narrative. It provides a thorough and cohesive explanation of the world and the way humanity ought to respond to it. That could be a part of why the movement is so popular. Now, why it is in Christian circles, different story, but for the world, it scratches an itch for them. It offers meaning. The way that the world is because the powerful are always vying for more power. Ah, now I see it. This is a little bit of it's a key. The world is cryptic to people. I really enjoy this. I hate that. This looks good. That is terrible. Oh, I see. It's because powerful people are always trying to oppress. Oh, that's why things are the way that they are. See how social justice does something for people, which is why you always need to look under the hood, because there's more going on with that engine than what meets the eye. And it's not just some sort of helpful tool to explain the way the world is. It seeks to do more than that. It seeks to tell them, and this is how it should operate. So it's a predetermined, this is the way things are right. That's what social justice is. That's what Marxism is, by the way. It's very judgmental. It says that all the other systems are wrong. The cure for our problems is for you to believe this and to act like this. That's very judgmental. That's not very postmodern. Nevertheless, who said there's any consistency in pagan worldviews or syncretistic worldviews these days? They seek to explain what is wrong because they believe they know what is right, and here's how you repair it, and this is the place that we're after. And social justice does that very same thing. We're very religious people, everybody. Christopher Hitchens, if you boil down his atheistic worldview, it's very religious in nature. It seeks to explain all of this stuff. What's Christopher Hitchens? What was his creation story? Evolution, Big Bang. What's the sin problem in the world? Well, Christopher probably gobbled together what he thought was bad. And what Christopher Hitchens thought was bad, quite honestly, was Christianity. Yeah, I think maybe he debated maybe an imam. But I know he debated like 80 Christians. Why? Because Christ is his grievance. So the problem in a big way for Christopher and other atheists tends to be Jesus Christ. There might be some other things. Sex trafficking they think is bad, even as they go about the business of utilizing products and services that promote it. Nevertheless, they can still say, yeah, but I don't like that. That's the problem. Now, how does an atheist typically say you need to cleanse your conscience? Well, if you're Freud, you just keep doing it until it doesn't bug you anymore, or you make up for it. It's the work righteous system. We do stuff. So we're going to give to the sex trafficking rescuers. We're going to plant a tree. We are going to rub some beads. We're going to do a kind deed. We're not going to cheat on our taxes. We're going to get ourselves cleaned up. And then maybe if everybody just thought the way that I did, this world would be a nicer place. One of the chief sins of the unbeliever right now is judgmentalism, which, by the way, is a judgment. Nevertheless, that's one of their chief sins. So how do we clean that up? Stop judging. Stop judging. And start judging the way that I do, because then there will be no judgment. So conform to my worldview, and then you don't have to go about the business of getting up my nose and tweaking my conscience. All of these systems are after the same big things, to answer the same big questions. Why? You have to ask that question. Why? Why is it that on every single continent, we've all evolved to want to understand our origins and why there's evil and what I do about it inside of myself. And what's it going to take to make the world a better place? Why is that woven into the DNA of the planet? Because it's woven into the DNA of the planet. That is not an evolutionary process. It's not like a nose, although we've always had those. My point is, we don't concoct these things. There wasn't a meeting, some evolutionary meeting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and frogs, you got a few billion years to go. And welcome to the monkey. Keep on the path, man. You're almost there. But to the people who actually have ears and can understand me, I don't know about you, but it just seems to me that the world is missing something. I can't put my finger on it because I haven't evolved it yet. So if we could all just put our minds to coming up with something that gives us something to do. I see a flipper over there. Okay, Dolphin, look, next time I'm going to ask you again. Stop using your blowhole and just when you want my attention, let me know. But we're going to have to try to communicate afterwards because all I get from you is and nobody can understand. I see a hand over there. Yes. You think pudding would be something that we could all live around. Pudding. What's pudding? Oh, I see. And Bill Cosby. Okay. Well, all right. Let's put that idea on the table. Does anybody... Okay, you don't know what an idea is yet. You haven't involved the concept of thinking about abstract ideas. Do you see how ludicrous this is? This is a part of our software. This is baked into the human cake. Everybody. So now, the danger for the Christian who recognizes this, who isn't intimidated anymore by the world... We want to bring them that truth. We will be inclined to alter our evangelistic message. And this is tricky. I'm reading a very brilliant book at the moment. I'm going to keep the name of it out because much of it is really, really good and helpful. But because the soteriology of the book, of the author, is not what I think is as high as it should be. The author is trying to tell us how we now in this particular world can present the gospel. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. That means we offer the gospel in a different form, something that is currently attractive to the world so that they'll come to Jesus. So if right now, for instance, let's just say the world economy just crashed and everybody's poor, this type of thinking would cause the Christian to go, but hey, Jesus is going to make you rich. Now, that would be the prosperity hacks that mean one thing, but it would also be the evangelicals who go, no, really, he wants you to, there's other stuff that's more important. So, man, I'm just telling you, you just won't feel so bad about money if you start believing in Jesus. Have you heard those types of messages before? You've got a God-shaped hole in your heart, only Jesus can fill it. Because we identified there is a problem. People are born to be worshipers. So give Jesus a go because the stuff of the world, your idols, they'll always break your heart. But that's not the gospel. We need to preach the gospel that you are falling short of your creator standard. And the day of judgment is when he is going to deal with you. And your only escape is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And along the way, we can use these observations about reality and the Christian explanation for them, the only truth and the only true explanation to substantiate the gospel. But these things are not the gospel themselves. Social justice helps people with purpose, self-denial for the privileged and self-love for the marginalized. There's community, a growing collective of people who carry out their activism together. There's rituals, purgation and renewal through self-denunciation and cancel culture, a vision of utopia where there's equity for everyone. Do you see what social justice is trying to do for people? What Christianity does? So let us seek to not be annoyed with these remixed gropers. Of course, they're a mess. We're still a pretty big mess. They're a terrible mess because they don't have Christ. And let us bring the true narrative of Christianity while not making it the gospel itself so that we lead people to love Jesus more because he satisfies all of these issues, the preeminent itch, forgiveness, of sins. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.